For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Victoria Hansen. If you're feeling anxious about the coronavirus pandemic, you're not alone. A recent poll by the American Psychiatric Association finds more than one-third of Americans think it is affecting their mental health.
So in South Carolina, you know, we're accustomed to things like a hurricane where we can track that path. We know what to do to prepare.
The cone of uncertainty is even more uncertain, says Dr. Alyssa Rheingold. She's a clinical psychologist and the associate director of the Sleep and Anxiety Treatment and Research Program at the Medical University of South Carolina. She says uncertainty can trigger anxiety, and there is a lot about this virus we don't know, like how long it will last. People are scared, leaving grocery stores bare as they stockpile supplies.
You know, it's an unusual experience for everybody, and I think people are just trying to figure out what are things they have control over.
Perhaps hoarding, even toilet paper, is one way of trying to exert some sort of control. But right now, we can't even control where we go. Social distancing has shut down cities. Millions are losing their jobs. Many who are working from home, tackling technology, homeschooling children, and cooking all the family meals.
I think a lot of people are experiencing that they feel even more challenged to be expected to do a lot more.
It puts families into a pressure cooker if they're not careful.
That's Helen Elliott Wheeler, a professional counselor and founder of the Center for Families in Charleston. She tries to help keep marriages together and guides families when they fall apart. For now, Wheeler is continuing her practice through phone calls and video conferencing. The biggest problems she's seen are fights over visitation rights.
One parent believes that they're more protective of the children than the other parent is, and so they want to withhold visitation from them.
And what happens if the parents live in different states? With family courts closed and no precedent for a pandemic, it's tough to decide. For families that are still together, Wheeler tries to help them prioritize. She encourages them to be intentional with their time together and not stress over schoolwork. This from a former 20-year educator.
We're in this big lifeboat together as a family, and let's all row together rather than hitting each other over the head with oars because we're not doing it right.
She says it's not easy. With this river, you can hear the rapids, but you can't see exactly what's coming.
It creates a crisis for people in recovery.
Paul Brethen is the co-founder of Sober Buddy, an online resource for recovering addicts. An estimated 21 million Americans are addicted to drugs or alcohol, and those in recovery often rely on 12-step programs. But social distancing has shut down a lifeline for many, daily meetings.
They said that the number one trigger that people relapse over is a sense of loss.
Brethen points out there are call-in and online meetings. He encourages people in recovery to be proactive, seek help, and schedule their days.
And as your emotions go up and down and your thoughts are going everywhere, the goal is to focus on your behaviors.
Dr. Alyssa Rheingold, the clinical psychologist at MUSC, agrees. Concentrate on what you can do and let go of the rest. She says anxiety not only affects our moods, but our sleep and health. She recommends exercise, eating well, getting outside, limiting media exposure, being social despite social distancing, and having compassion for ourselves.
You know, it's a challenge we're all trying to adapt to. But, you know, again, I remind myself this is temporary. There will be a light at the end of the tunnel.
She's holding on to hope despite anxiety. In Charleston, I'm Victoria Hansen for South Carolina Public Radio.